It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, here we are. Welcome back to another episode of The Break Room. We call it The Break Room because we feel like in life you got to stop, pump the brakes, reassess where you at and where you're going. I'm live with my cousin, with the man, the original member, the original, the OG of this platform, the behind-the-scenes man. A man that hasn't been seen since wintertime. The last time we recorded, there was snow in the bluff.
Yes.
There was literal snow on the bluff. There was little snow outside and cats are wild in the streets from the NO back to ATL. We got my man Andy back in the building, videographer, director, producer, DJ. As a matter of fact, I don't think the last time we spoke, I don't think you DJed your high school reunion yet. Did you? Had you DJed when we recorded?
I attended it.
But I don't know when we recorded if you had already did that. I don't think so. Yeah, went there to it. I don't recall.
I don't remember. I got to check the dates.
Yeah, because that was like in February-ish or something like that. But yo, can you real quick just tell me what it was like for you to go back to your high school reunion? Because this past year, you celebrated 20 years.
Well, you know, I went to high school in, you know, Lehigh Acres, Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. So, you know, it was cool seeing some friends. I don't remember a lot of people. If you wasn't locked in with me, like, you know, we wasn't in my close inner circle. It's like, if I wasn't talking to you every day, I didn't really remember. So it was a lot of people that remembered me, you know, and I had no idea who they were. I had to play it off, you know, maybe look at an old picture like, okay, that's you from back then. But it was cool, though. It was cool seeing some old friends, you know.
I've had that experience myself where people from high school or back, not even just high school, people from back in the day, they approach me and they're like, yo, Mike, what up? And I'm just like, yo, what's good? How are you? Whatever. I got to play it off. And afterwards, I'm like, yo, who was that again? Yo, who was that?
The way I get them. You know, if the conversation leads to switching contact information, I tell them like, yo, how you spell your name?
Yeah, I forgot how to spell your name.
Don't let it be like Bob or something.
Or I'll say here, put your number in my phone and put your last name on there too. Yeah. I got a bunch of y'all. Put your last name number on there too, because I got a few of y'all. That they say who a few of what, I'm like, oh shit. But I hear you though. I had that experience in old 2023 was my 20-year anniversary high school reunion. I didn't go to my 10-year joy, so I said, I'm going to this. So, you know, I had that experience where I had to, like, reconnect with people I didn't remember they were alive. I was like, oh, snap, I forgot you existed. Oh, snap. And it's not a knock on them. It's just a knock on my own memory, my own busyness of the last 20 years, where life has taken me. And I'm just like, yo, like, that's how much life be moving for people, where like you forget people even existed. And that doesn't mean at the time they weren't important to you. But yo, man, life
changes. That's true.
Life changes, yo.
I go through that all the time. People bring people up and I'm like, damn, yo, I forgot about them. What's up with them?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's weird how your brain pushes certain people out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if they're not important to you, if you ain't dealing with them every day, there's no reason for them to live on your mind.
Yeah. It kind of shows. Yeah. And yes. And to your point, it kind of shows how when we're young, our world is very small. Our universe is very small.
Yeah. There's nothing to worry about. All we have to worry about is friends and school and, you know, what goes on with everybody, you know? That's all we have.
Yeah. For sidebar. I just want to say I'm hating on you because you got your twist. You got your twist out. And the last time I had twist was in high school. Speaking of high school, was in 12th grade. I had twist. That's long time ago. And I know as men, as we get older, sometimes our hair goes back a little bit. Sometimes we lose our hair altogether. And we can be very conscious about that, self-conscious. And it's Men's Health Month. So we should talk about all our insecurities. And I just want to say, brother, you are doing better than me. And people will ask me, like, damn, what does it matter? You look good with a bald head. You got the shape for a bald head. And that's cool. And I appreciate that. But I will say there's something about getting a haircut or getting your hair done that's sort of relaxing, sort of.
You had that good hair, too. You had that genuine hair up top.
You know, I want to be PC. I want to be socially Black conscious. I won't use the term good hair. I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I said I had, quote unquote, soft hair. I had curly
I don't know
hair.
What C hair of that you had. It wasn't 4C.
Yeah, 4C. Yeah, and I didn't foresee me losing it, so.
But not me, like, I had braids in high school, you know what I mean? Did that for, I don't know how long, years of pulling back my hair, getting
same
braids,
hair.
All types of braids, micro braids, all types of designs. Did that for a few years, maybe 2-3 years of high school and college. First or second year of college, I just cut it all off. My hair was down to my shoulders.
Wow.
Cut it all off. And I've been doing the low-cut Caesar fade for 20 years, you know what I mean? And obviously, you start to lose hair. You see, I'm starting to lose hair. I got the Beijing up there covering it up, though, you know. Mm-hmm. That shout out to a barber. But, you know, I was going bald. I'm losing hair a little bit. So, you know, I...
Yeah, but you have enough hair, though, still, where if you go see a dermatologist, and again, it's Men's Health Month, mental health and otherwise, you can do something about it where you can, like, somewhat retain it. I people always do an exercise about like, what would you do if you could go back in time? What would you do if you could go back to when you were a childhood? Or I always say, yo, if you put me back in ninth grade, if you put me back to when I was younger, yeah, I'll get better grades. Yeah, I'll make sure I gamble on the right things and make mad money with the lottery. But what I would really do is in ninth grade, I'd have all my health hair products out and I'll start early. All right, do this, do that. See that? You ain't getting me. And I'd be ahead of the game, literally ahead of the game, you know.
Are you interested in, you know, you see them niggas going to
Turkey,
Istanbul and shit, you know, getting that. I don't know. Like, it don't.
It looks weird.
Yes.
Your boy Tory Lanez did that one time and then I started going again. It looks weird. You got to take blood out your body. You got to grow out your hair first and then take some of your hairs out there and then put it with needles on the front. There's a lot to it. It seems crazy. I heard it's cost effective to go to Turkey and do it. I don't know. I don't think I would. I think I'm going to settle. I mean, listen, if you give me $1 billion tomorrow.
You're going to go try to figure something out.
I might buy, you know, when you have excess of wealth, I'm sure you do wild stuff. You buy 10 jet skis, but you live in the Alps with snow. You wild out and do mad stuff you shouldn't be doing. So maybe with the excess wealth, I would say, well, I got the free time. Let me just go to Turkey and see what it's about. But as a working man, as a working class man, as a dude who's just living his life day to day, middle class, working class, I got bigger fish to fry in my life than to worry about lost hair. You know what I'm saying? Like going to Turkey, you know, like, you know, women on the women's side. I mean, first of all, men are doing it too by the droves. Men are doing it by the droves. I see like airplane videos of whole men and a lot of men in Turkey on the plane with just like head wraps because it's got their stuff done. But you know, it's same thing like women going to Miami get their BBLs or going to Colombia to get their BBLs. You see it happen all the time. There's an industry explosion in cosmetics and trying to get your stuff. Yo, there's dudes now who are getting their legs stretched out. They're putting metal rods to get to be taller.
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure. So I didn't. All that shit came up on my timeline.
So you already know.
And
I'm privileged because I'm 6'1" and a half, 6'2" on a good day, 6'3" with Tim's. I don't have that. In fact, I complain sometimes about my height. When I'm wearing Tim's, I'll be towering. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to fall over. My back is hurting. But, you know, that's a privileged point of view, being tall. So I still have to say this. When it comes to hair, I'm cool. I don't know if I enjoy shaving, but I do think shaving is like easier to like maintain throughout the week. Like I shave on a Monday, I shave on a Wednesday morning to be fresh for work, you know, and it's easy, it's quick. But do I miss getting a nice cut, blades filling on your scalp, you know, getting a nice Caesar, wrapping yourself in a do-rag to get waves after a week or two? Did I like in high school when I had twists or I had braids and I would take my hair out? My hair was down to my neck. That was all fly, but everything comes and goes. You know what I'm saying? Everything comes and goes. And what I learned in life, you can't have it all. You can't have it all. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't tripping. I'm not tripping off of that. But I do miss hair. I do miss the functionality of hair, but I wouldn't invest in it. I want to invest in it. This is going to sound judgmental, but I be judging women with the ant booties, with the BBL ant booties. They're like,
I mean, those, when they get crazy like that to the point to where they look like an ant.
Or they're like a pea.
Yeah, sometimes I ask, like, was it a mistake? You know, like maybe they went to a doctor or something, you know, and it was just a mistake. I fail to believe that somebody would want their body like that on purpose.
That wasn't the final product you envisioned. You know what I'm saying? I might have lost you, cuz. I think you're freezing. Yeah. I struggle to believe that was your envision of the final product. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't be, because it looks crazy. Now, I will say this. Not only is it Mental Health Month for men,
it's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's also Pride Month for all LGBTQ people. I will say this. I got a colleague who, shout out to him, and what he did was he didn't do a turkey joint. He didn't do a turkey. What he did was he got the, he grew up his hair on the sides, on the back of the sides, and then he went and he got the, like a lace front, I guess. Like a lace front, like, you know, like he got a hair to slide down, whatever. He taped it down. He tapes it down after. You see the barbershop videos of these people do that. And, you know, he lays it down and it's artificial hair around his real hair. And he just tapes it in and there you go. So, and now he has hair again. Dare I say, I feel like our brothers on the LGBTQ side, they can get away with that. they can get away with that.
That's essentially the same thing.
If LeBron did that, he'd be clowned.
No, but when you see a LGBTQ wearing a wig, you wouldn't bat an eye. You would say, oh, that's normal. You know what I mean? For them putting on, you know, them being LGBTQ and then just doing a little, that's a wig. It's just a little, you know, it's a little lace front. You know?
And there's no judgment.
Yeah, no judgment. Do it.
Yeah. Like, I just do think on the hetero side, there'll be more clowning. There'll be more.
Yeah. I mean, I see it on the hetero side too. You see those videos from hetero men, you know.
It's getting normalized.
Yeah, some niggas just want their hair. You know, that's it. But it's the, they have to go. This is the difference between people who do that and people who don't. When you're dating somebody, you're going to have to go through the same thing that women go through. You lay in that bed and you wake up, wig is removed, makeup is off, Beijing has sweated out. Now that's the person that you are with. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
That's the real person. So as a man, I'm walking around with this beard, this full healthy beard, and then you come lay down with me and I'm like,
oh my God, that's how
you would be like, you wouldn't want to mess with me.
And so I
think when it comes to the female male thing, I think it's a little tricky with that, because the females, sometimes some of them, they take it like just no judgment, but just me personally, my opinion, the girls who wear the heavy, heavy makeup to the point to where they look like somebody else.
Yo.
That's I think you're pushing it. It looks great, but if you don't, you know, the makeup should be an enhancement, I think. I mean, I'm not in the beauty industry, but I think it just should be an enhancement. So do your whatever little things, you know, but you shouldn't, it shouldn't be a costume, you know, like.
No, it shouldn't be, it shouldn't totally transform your look. It shouldn't be, for a lack of better words, clownish colors in abundance.
You know what I'm ever saying? See the dark, the women are darker. Or whatever, it doesn't matter, complexion, and then the makeup is a different, and you see it right here at the neck or something, you see it right here. It's like, what?
Yes, I've seen, and to that, I would say, maybe you have a skin situation, a skin condition where you gotta do what Charlamagne did. I guess Charlamagne was very dark in certain parts of his body, and then he got some proper medical stuff done, or he saw a treatment to even out his face. You could do that. But to your point, yes, I've seen videos of women who are very dark, and whether it's because of naturally they're dark or just for some other reason they have issues going on with their face. And by the way, dark is beautiful.
Everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Yeah. We need to change the topic before we get canceled.
No, canceled. I mean, one
and live your life in the normal.
That's how well you can pull off cosmetics and makeup. It's crazy. It's crazy. So to that we say, you know, love yourself. And also embrace yourself. But at the same time, there's no shame if you want to augment yourself.
Yes.
There's
no shame. Your body, your choice. Everybody is beautiful. All skin complexions are beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All hair textures are beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if you want to enhance your looks, if you got the money to enhance your looks, your face, your body, it's your choice. Do whatever you want as long as you're comfortable. As long as you think it looks good, as long as you do it safely, professionally.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
don't go to your sister in the basement, we heard those stories. So
absolutely. People have died for those stories.
Yeah. So get it done professionally. But really and truly, you don't need it, Black.
You don't need it. Yeah. You know, especially Black. You don't.
We love you.
We love you. On that note, let me transition because. I want to have a music conversation with you. We haven't spoken in a few months. I want to know what you're listening to, old or new. What are you vibing with? What are you looking towards or looking forward to? Your man Pusha's coming out with Malice again, the Clips album. It's got a lot of buzz next month. What are you bumping right now? It's been a few months since we spoke. What are you listening to? What's been catching you, if anything? And if nothing, that's all good too.
Nothing.
Wow. It's been that dry, huh?
Been dry for me. I mean, I haven't really been, since music has been on the decline these few years, the past few years, it's just not, it's underwhelming. You know what I mean? I believe the last full album I listened to was Kendrick's, probably, of course.
The GMX.
There was.
I wish I went to his tour. I didn't have the cash for the time to go to his tour.
I think there might have been a few others. Like, yeah. I see Kanye just dropped a surprise album or something. I didn't even check out the previous thing. It's just I'm listening to Compa right now. Shout out to Black Parents.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm listening to Compa. That's a Compa group called Black Parents.
I know Black Parents. Yeah.
That's what I'm listening to right now.
Matter of fact, my favorite Black Parents. We want to have a Compa conversation. My favorite Black Parents track or song, it's one of their biggest songs too.
Vini.
Yeah, Vini Palé. Yeah, Vini Palé. Vini Palé is a classic though. That's one of their best joints.
Yeah. But I haven't even been watching music videos like I normally do. You know, I'm just, if it comes across my ear, my timeline, you know, I'll go on a profile, check it out. And that's it. Like, I have to really like it for me to go add it to my iTunes playlist. So nothing is being added. Nothing has been added to my playlist.
I hear you. I can almost empathize with you.
Somebody called me when Wayne shit dropped. And they called me. They said, oh, go listen to it, Lowe's. Tell me what you think.
Oh yeah, you're a Wayne head.
And I was a Wayne head. I can't tell you his latest stuff that he's on, but I listened to the first song and I'm like, okay, he's still spitting. But then I just skimmed through the rest. I didn't really listen to it. I didn't give it a fair chance because I didn't even listen to it. But I haven't listened to the last Wayne album, you know. Carter 3 and Carter 4 after that was
worthy of your time.
Yeah, so.
I hear you. I mean, I have that same relationship with Wayne after Carter 3, and I wasn't even that much of a fan as others were Carter 3. And that's 08. That's 08. It's a long time ago. Over 15 years ago. I kind of fell off on Wayne's journey musically. I never gravitated towards it again because nothing that he was putting out since the last 15 years had reeled me in. But I didn't listen to the album, but I heard it was critically panned. I heard a lot of people didn't like it. I didn't give it a fair shake like you. I couldn't stomach it. I heard one or two songs and I was like, oh my God, this is what he's saying. I'm good. The beat selection from what I heard was not well from what I listened to. Furthermore, like you, a lot of compa, shout out to Black parents again. My mom, in the last couple of years, I want to say even pre-pandemic, she was the one of all people that put me onto this band out of South Florida. I think they're from South Florida. Or maybe they're from the island. New Look is there. So they're fire. They always have a good album on deck. Outside of compa.
Yeah, everybody's going crazy over, I haven't checked out one song. I don't know one bar. Everybody has been going crazy over the Pusher clips shit.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
You're a Pusher fan.
I'm a Clips fan, and I even prefer Malice over Pusher.
But do you think it's, all right, I saw a little clip. I know they're like in Paris in the Louis Vuitton thing recording.
They recorded the album in Paris.
Yeah. Do you think Pusha is writing Malice's stuff?
No, not even that. I can tell you.
Because that's like me. I'm not saying he is. Once again, I haven't listened to it. So I would just think that, you know, your brother took all these years off of the rap game and Pusha has stayed in, you know, consistent throughout the years. So now it's like, all right, you know, picture it's like a basketball player and you took a year off or a few years off of retirement and now you come back to the NBA. Things are a little bit different on the court now. Let me show you how we, you know what I'm saying? The Euro step is allowed now. This and, you know, we doing beats like this. And we not really rapping like we did on Grinding. We do, you know, we doing it like this. Here go a few bars and then you know, so I don't know. Or maybe did Malice come in like, hey, this is riding the bike. Just give me the beat, Push, and I got it.
It's all right. It sounds more like the latter, what you just said. It sounds like that. But what I will say, first and foremost, I'm a Clips fan since 02, since I remember in senior year of high school, too. Danny Beauvier, shout out to Danny. He's a fireman now. In high school, 12th grade. He was like, I don't like this song. Talking about Grinding. Or I don't like how he says patty cake. I'm the biggest man. That sounds juvenile. And I was like, well, it's a double entendre. He's trying to say he cooks something else, not actual bakery. And that Lord Willing album, it helped me out through 12th grade. Mind you, for the record, they're Virginia Beach natives, which means they're Southern artists. So I want folks to recognize that. When we say, y'all don't bump the South, y'all don't bump the West. No, we don't bump what we don't.
Hold on.
No, not y'all. I'm talking about people out there who like to say, hey, New Yorker, hey, so-and-so, wherever region, you don't like our stuff. I think what people are trying to say is, you don't like our mascots. So, like, a lot of times, I'll bump Southern music. J. Cole.
But V.A., to y'all, to New York, V.A. is South.
V.A. was lynching people in 1930, okay? That's the South. Mason-Dixon line.
V.A. is South of New York. But when you have music from Clips, you know, Timbaland, Missy.
Southern.
No.
Hold on. Timbaland.
I would not put that in the Southern genre of music.
But then you would be disrespecting Timbaland. Because Timbaland on the CeeLo Green album, on CeeLo Green, I'll Be, the single. Timbaland sends, they call me Timbaland. I'm also from the South. All right, the girls with big butts and girls and grills in their mouth. My name is Timbaland. I also come from the South. I had the girls with big butts and grills in their mouth. He's telling you his roots. He's telling you what he likes. You can't deny that out of that man. That's not fair to him. Those are his roots too. His style's different. Because VA is different. VA, the whole DMV area, and really DMV is really the northern part, but the whole Virginia, Maryland, and DC.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's in the middle. It's in the middle.
They're aesthetically and stylistically, they look like northerners. They come off like northerners. But whether it's Virginia people, whether it's J. Cole, whether it's Little Brother, whether it's J. Electronica.
Well, now you're talking about North Carolina. To me, everything in North Carolina, Southern.
Well, J. Cole
There's
is
not a lot there. Well, okay. Hold on.
J. Cole is a South.
J. Cole is a South.
Little Brother in the South.
Wait. Little Brother also, too. They're from North Carolina, but their sound. What does it sound? Did their sound sound like Southern?
We get into it because J. Electronica is a New Orleans. He'll tell you, I'm a Fifth Ward Magnolia.
But who raised who? J. Electronica came up under Jay-Z, like Northern.
But so that's what I'm saying. When people try to say
J. Cole, he's following Northern influence.
But that's why what I say, when people say, y'all don't rock with the South, y'all don't rock with the West. No. That's too lazy. What you're trying to tell me is you think that I don't appreciate your banner of Southern music, which is maybe crunk stuff, maybe bounce stuff, maybe something in particular.
Because this is what other Southerners might be able to argue. They're going to say, you as a New Yorker, you're going to say, yeah, I love Southern music. I listen to J. Cole and Big Brother. And then the real Southern, the Lil Jon, the Trick Daddy, the Outkast, they're going to say, nigga, they sound like up north. That's why you like them. That's why you want to represent, you know, and say you like the South. But those are, you not saying you like Trick Daddy. You not saying you like damn, Pastor Troy.
This is the Pastor Troy's music, but I'm not
going to Trick Daddy. I just threw that name out there. But
I know, but I would tell that person, okay, maybe I don't rock with the Sonics because it's the Sonic stuff. It's the beats y'all choosing for those people. You can't fault a New Yorker for that. You know what I'm saying? You can't fault a New Yorker for that. You can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't make a Southerner listen to dirty, grungy, boot camp click, Brooklyn backdoor. No. If you like Jay-Z, cool.
But hold on. I will argue this because we have a cousin, Stanley, who won't even give it a chance. Just doesn't. I tried to tell him about Kodak Black long time ago when he was young, when he was still hungry, rapping. And he didn't even want to. I'm like, yo, but he's Haitian. You know, like, I said, he's Haitian. You're Haitian. Like, and he's buzzing. Like, he's going to be big. He's like, I don't even want to care. Like, I don't even want to listen. Like, so. Y'all won't get New Yorkers, and I'm a New Yorker. I'm born in New York, but, you know, they don't even want to give the Southern stuff a chance to even listen. They may not like, you know, up north, New York, the delivery, the pronunciation is clear. You can hear the words. Maybe down south with the slang, hey, girl, you know what I'm talking about? You know, you may not be able to. So y'all are turned off as soon as y'all hear their voice. The beats, y'all don't like those Southern crunk beats or whatever. Y'all like the up. So y'all won't even give it a chance. But now Southerners, they give Jay-Z a chance. They give Nas a chance.
Well, hold up. The big people, no matter what coast you're from, the big people who are proven, they get chances everywhere. Outkast sold 10 million records, not just in the Southern region. You know what I'm saying? They came up here and sold records too. When Death Row, let's take it to the West Coast.
New York fucks with the South. I feel like the South, it got to be buzzing in the South. You know, they got to be buzzing in the South hot, and then New York will adapt. It's different now.
My thing is, everyone is allowed to have their niche regional super nerdy likes. Like I said, I don't expect someone from South Carolina to understand Big L. You know what I'm saying? That's a New York thing. It's okay. I won't get offended if you don't rock with that. But I'll say to you, damn, you don't really like Jay-Z? In the same way, I would understand if someone said to me, you don't like Outkast? Mind you, I love Outkast. Outkast is top three, and they're not three as far as groups. Maybe top two and not two. You know what I'm saying? And top 12 is probably Goody Mob, okay? That soul food album, I still bump. Like, but I will distinct to my Southern people, there is a difference between how I received Southern music pre-04 to after 04. BL, before Little John, Southern music was a little more, there was a little and more
booty, bass.
There was either the bass stuff, like the Miami bass stuff, or the or that booty shaking stuff, but there was also like, there was also like some like musicality to it. You know, the whole Dungeon Family from the like 90s on, whether it's Cool Breeze, his album is a slept on. Like I said, Goody Mob, the whole stuff, like there's a whole era of Southern music before Lil Jon that could be either the booty shaking music or a little more fleshed out musical. But I feel like for the last 20 years, what's dominated it is just like trap, but not even like good trap. You know what I'm saying? Like T.I. was trap music. I know you don't like T.I. But T.I., but he's another one.
Back then, you know, I love T.I.
And he sold records in New York. I'm sorry. He sold records.
No, like.
He was embraced.
But that's what I'm saying. Y'all embrace him and when they're hot. They get hot, then they got to go to that, what is it, Radio City Music Hall or whatever, that one, or
Masquerade Garden or Summer Jam.
No, there's one, like, smaller venue that all the
SOBs
might go to SOBs and perform, and if they kill it at SOBs, then you know they, you know what I mean. So
SOBs is a litmus test. Is a litmus test for any region, including New Yorkers.
Yeah. So, I remember New York embracing Jeezy. You know, 03, 04, you know what I'm saying? I seen more niggas up there with the snowman shirt than in Florida.
Jeezy was on Fabulous, his third album, Real Talk, and that was 04. Trapper Die didn't drop till what, 05? Not Trapper Die. That's what's the first album called? TM101?
Yeah.
Whatever. That was 05. So Fab, a Brooklyn dude, gave him a look a year before or a few months prior to the official album dropping. The mixtape was hot, Trap or Die.
And he was bubbling.
And a New York dude signed him, Jay-Z. So there has been more of an exchange than we're willing to admit. But I feel like we're so stuck in our stances about, like, this is my culture, this is how we sound, and this is what dominates. But it's like, all right, but does Jay Electronica like your music? Does J. Cole like your sound? Does Little Brother like your sound? Like, people in your own cohort don't do your style.
I'll say this.
ASAP, go ahead.
In defense of New York and up north, going to the clubs down here, when you go out here, they're not playing, you know,
New York style.
New York stuff.
Boom bap stuff.
They're not playing the Joey Badass. You know, they're not playing,
Joey, by the way, he killed the West Coast, but we'll talk about that later.
But they're not playing they're going to play the basic Jay-Z, allow me to reintroduce myself. They're going to play that. Then they're going to switch it to the Dipset anthem. And after that, you know, that's it. They play a couple up north songs, that the popular ones, and that's it. They not really going deep and playing the hood shit. But now, because, you know, like, when I used to be up there for the summers and shit, I live on Jamaica Ave. So you hear.
Queens.
In Jamaica Ave, you can hear, like, you could go, maybe not now because it's empty, but before, even now, because I was just there a couple months ago.
Yeah, you were.
And when you're in the streets of Jamaica Ave, you're going to hear what's hot or who's next or what's, if it's the hottest shit. Like, I remember Future in New York.
In New York.
Everywhere you go, they're playing Future. The mixtapes, you know what I'm saying? Mixtapes, playing Future everywhere. So, you know, New York was definitely embracing the South.
I think everyone embraces their personal sonic. So by sonic, I mean beats, interests. So, like, you know, people like, let's take the West Coast, for example, the West Coast. And I want to use the West Coast for a few reasons. One, I was happy that Joey Badass, I don't know if you followed the Joey Badass situation. I don't know if you followed it. The Joey Badass.
No, I just saw, I didn't see it. I saw a verse from him and I went in the comments and then I saw everybody talking about it. Like, well, why would he wouldn't be dissing Kendrick or what? So I didn't.
He had a mini battle dust up because earlier on January 1st in the new year, he had a song come out where he said too much West Coast dick licking. He was quoting an old Jay-Z line from Reasonable Doubt, but basically saying to New Yorkers, guys, I get it. They're winning. Good for them. But stop riding them and do your own thing. And people got offended, you know, on the West Coast. They raised their banner, raised their flag, said that's disrespectful. So they all crashed out on him. Ray Vaughn, a TDE signee, crashed out on him. Literally had a song called Crash Out. Getting at Joey. Daylight, an infamous battle rapper from Compton.
Daylight.
Yeah, he went at him. Reason. A few others went at him. A lot of people from the West Coast went at Joey off the flag of West Coast, off the flag of California. And by the way, Joey.
And now, hold on. Joey said that in a rap, right?
Yeah.
Now, all those people you named, they went at him just via talking on Instagram?
No. Did they bars. Music. Okay. It was music. So basically, real quick. Also, you missed it. So basically, you would have enjoyed it. It was a fun few weeks. Basically, in early winter, you know, Joey has two records where he's pretty much saying, hey, New Yorkers, be yourself, whatever. And talking that slick New York talk by saying too much West Coast dick licking. They get offended. And in various moments, they all respond in February, March. And then finally, like early April, a cipher is released by Red Bull. Red Bull, the drink, released a cipher. Where in the cipher, it was Absol, TDE signee, Absol, shout out to Absol.
I saw that.
And it was him, Big Sean, and Joey.
Yes, I saw the cipher. I saw the cipher. The shit was just going in the cipher.
And yeah. Joey responded to folks in that cipher.
That's what I saw where I was reading the comments.
Okay, so you saw that.
I saw that.
You saw the cipher where Joey responded, and with his slick talk, he responded to Ray Vaughn, he responded to Daylight, and he let it be known that I'm here to compete. After that, Ray Vaughn, who's a young guy on TDE, who has a new mixtape / album out for the last 2 months, it's doing well, but I barely listened to it. But it's doing well. He came back. First, he had a song from the wintertime called Crash Out over a Kendrick beat, the Hard Part 6, the real Hard Part 6, not that Drake bullshit. He responded. So he initially said, I'm going to get that Joey Badass. He did. So after the cypher, Ray Vaughn again was a word that he made another song, As a Daylight. And then Joey made a song called The Finals because it was playoff time, basketball. So he made a song called The Finals. And between the cypher freestyle and The Finals, what you saw from Joey was he assumed the New York aesthetic of an MC. Slick punchlines, bars, similes, entendres, a little swagger to him, smooth. And he was just like, he was killing them. They all came back with another record. And then Joey responded again with a song called... What's it called? It's called My Town. My Town. And he secretly had a guest on it. When he premiered My Town, it just said Joey Badass, My Town. So he was killing them. Fire. And then he had a feature on it. The feature was another battle rapper I'm sure you're aware of, Loaded Lux. And Loaded Lux was on the record because I thought I loved a battle rap like 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. But I've always, every once in a while, when it was the big battle, I'll check in and see how it's going. But I'm very much aloof to battle rap. But I know for a fact that Loaded Lux and Daylight, and Loaded Lux is from Harlem. Loaded Lux was supposed to battle Daylight BC before COVID, before the pandemic. It's been going on for years. But I guess Daylight on his end, he's been holding it up, going through stuff, or just being slow with it. So since Daylight has been now getting that Joey, Joey said, all right, he got that Daylight too on My Town, and then you run it from Lux, and then you brought Lux into it. And Lux also spazzed on him. It was a big thing. And you could tell, basically, from what I'm telling you, you could tell that Joey just, he showed, like, y'all cool, but
y'all not fucking with me, literally.
Yeah, and it gave Joey a lot of momentum where, you know, the clear winner, you can tell, is Joey. He won the battles. And now there's a lot of momentum for Joey because he has an album coming out this summer, supposedly. That's what he said. So we'll see. But the reason why I bring up this whole West Coast thing and Joey is because some would say, whether it's through Kendrick last year or Not Like Us, or just West Coast folks in general, West Coast people will use their flag of being from the West Coast as a battle cry to say, y'all don't like us. Y'all don't care about us. We're always David to Goliath. We don't get no interviews from y'all. We come to the East Coast. We don't get no interviews from the labels. You know, marketing. We're on our own. Y'all don't care about our music. You know what I mean? And we're on our own. And we are crying wolf. Y'all will always nitpick our culture and not understand it. And I always say to that, the same thing I'm saying to the South. It's not that simple of a narrative to run with. Because I'm a dude who grew up off all hip hop. So yeah, I grew up off of Death Row and the banner West Coast music of the 90s. My mother bought me Doggy Style. My mother, who watches Access Hollywood in the early 90s and watches TV a lot, said, I like that Snoopy guy. I'll buy it for you. Mind you, the Doggy Style cover is a sexualized cover. The title's sexualized, but she bought me that record. But forget West, but forget Snoop, because he's the biggest rapper ever, probably, name-wise. I'm that dude who was bumping the underground West Coast music. So whether it's Hieroglyphics, whether it's Souls of Mischief, This Is How We Chill from 93 Till, whether it's, you know, The Alcoholics and Exhibit and Razzcast, who's a super lyrical dude, whether it's the Bay Area super lyrical cats, whether it's, you know, there's Blue, who's from L.A., who's super lyrical, whether it's, there's a whole L.A. scene, Tyler, the Creator, L.A. lyrical, creative. There is a wide net of artists I do listen to. But what some of y'all want me to listen to is that lowrider, G-Funk, West Coast, gangster, shoot 'em up, crit walk music. You want me to like an aesthetic of yours, not the whole pie. You know what I'm saying? Just like with the South, there's different styles of the South. New Orleans has bounce music. You know what I'm saying? Manny Fresh, you get him in the studio, he'll make a great bounce beat. You know what I'm saying? There's that whole bounce party vibe. There's different pockets of Southern music. What they do in Houston with the screw stuff is not what they're doing in Louisiana. There's different, it's versatility and all. I can like it all. I may like J. Cole more or whoever more, and maybe their sound is a little more New Yorker. But there's different pockets that I do like. But if I don't like Crunk, that's what you're judging me off of. If I don't like G-Funk, West Coast, Murder, Crip, Blood, whatever, cuz that's what you're judging me off of. What I'm saying to you, and on the reverse for New York, if you don't like my Tim Boots wearing boom, pap, boom, boom, pap, I'm judging y'all. So we all got to say to ourselves, we all are coming into this with ego. You know what I'm saying? Just because I don't like your style, doesn't mean I don't like his style. Dude, Ice Cube has not famous. He's not world-renowned. He is and he isn't. He has a cousin. Ice Cube has a cousin called Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Del the Funky Homo Sapien. He's from the Bay Area. He's not from L.A. He's from Northern Cali. People who are underground, Sixth Avenue, Manhattan, Fat Beats record store with their head nodding, they love Del. Wanna why? Because Del is a lyrical legend where he's from a group called the Hieroglyphics and he's from up north in the Bay and he'd be rapping his ass off. He'll go up to London and tour with the Gorillaz, a famous band from London. The Gorillaz have him on one of their biggest singles ever. That's so like Diamond Plus. I ain't happy. You know, I'm feeling sad. I got sunshine. And you know that song? That's Del rapping through that's Del killing it. Throughout the joint.
I didn't know that.
And that's Ice Cube. And he'll mop Ice Cube lyrically. He'll mop him. But we're not going to promote Del like we'll promote the get in the core sound. Why is that? Different styles. But don't tell me I don't like West Coast music because, you know, look, West Coast sound. Alchemist is a white kid from L.A. Not from up north, from L.A. One of the biggest producers of all time.
I didn't know Alchemist was from L.A.
He's from L.A. He's from Beverly Hills.
Wow.
He's from
making some of New York's
darkest mob beats. Making some of the most dark,
years ago.
Yeah, the most darkest mob.
I thought he was from New York.
He wears shirts that says the Left Coast, left for West. He'll show you. I'm from Beverly Hills. In the early 90s, as a teenager, he was in a group with another white kid. What's his name? He's famous now for acting. He was in a group with another white cat who's now an actor. I forgot the name. I'll show it to you afterwards.
That's wild.
Yeah. He's L.A. He's not from Northern Cali. He's from L.A., Los Angeles, born and raised, alchemist, or Jewish cat. But his sound is his sound.
Explains why now in the future he hooked up with Hit Boy, right? Didn't they do something?
Hit Boy, another person that's from L.A., but his sound is universal. Game as a rapper.
Album with Nas.
Yeah, a few albums with Nas. Game as an MC. He's from L.A., from Compton. But his style sounds somewhat East Coast.
But see, Game can do both. Game can do the Crip Walker shit, and then he can do the Ale Bumbaye type beats, you know?
Right. He can do whatever he wants to do because he's allowed to be an individual. He's not bounded by zip code. You know, there's others I'm not thinking about. One of the most best producers and beat makers, his name is Madlib. He's from Oxnard, California.
Yeah, I know Madlib.
But when you listen to Madlib, it's all like Pete Rocky, East Coast type sounds if you put them in a box. But you can't put people in the box because they're zip code. Allow them to be different. Allow them to be who they want to be. So that's why I would tell anybody who's from the South or from the West Coast or from anywhere, from New York, that says, y'all don't like us. It's no. We don't like you or how you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? But back to the music conversation, I agree with you. It's been very dry. My favorite MC right now is from the South. He's from South Carolina. His name is Nick Grant. Nick Grant. NickGrant. He dropped the album last Friday. The album is called...
I Just Took It Personal.
Yeah, I Took It Personal. It's a good album. It's cool. But it's not as good as his last album. His last album that came out in 02. Not 02. In 2022. That's the one. That's the one.
One thing about music, man.
And he was on the Breakfast Club for that album 2 years ago. He was on that. So he's gotten some exposure, but not enough exposure.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I was going to talk about. Exposure. Like, it's so, I think it's so, I mean, it's not crazy, but it is. Because there are billions of people on this earth. I just find it so amazing when I hear a new artist. I hear about a new person and it's like, hey, this person is already successful, booming, millions of views, streams, listeners, fans, follows, videos. And it's like this person probably got music on the radio in their city or whatever. And you could be in another state and never even heard of them. You know what I mean? So it just shows you how much, you know, everything is kind of controlled, the sound, radio, you know.
It could be that. It could be that. Or it could also be things are not as homogenized, which means it's not as enclosed as it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago.
Yeah, you had to be record label, go through a certain thing.
Yeah, you had to get on the radio.
In your house.
Yeah, you had to get on the radio. To market your album, you had to get on the radio. You had to get on MTV. You had to get on BET. Rest in peace, Ananda Lewis. You had to get on certain platforms. And you had conductors and you had curators who curated a sound for everybody. Growing up in New York, if I want to know who's hot on the mixtape scene, Clue told me. DJ Clue told me. It was on his tape. I got the new freestyle from so-and-so. I got the new exclusive from so-and-so. And you trusted DJ Clue as a curator to say, if he said he's dope, I'm going to give him a shot and we'll see.
Yes.
But now there's a bunch of DJ Clues out there. There's a bunch of people out there who are making their own taste. They're their own tastemakers. They are controlling their own listening and their own taste. So someone could be popping in a certain region and you won't know because the algorithm didn't hit you. And for better or for worse, that's where we're at. You know what I'm saying? I miss when we all were together listening to something. You know, I miss that era where we all were together discussing things. Now we're also spread apart because of the internet.
Yeah, it's so saturated that I can be over here listening to somebody that you've never even heard of.
Yeah. There's way more silos today. There's way more like silos and way more cubicles to zone out and do your own thing for better or for worse. I say it's for worse more than better, but here we are. So I'm not going to complain too much. But like I said, Dick Grant, I'm listening to him, Typhoon Compa. You know, not for nothing, on the R&B tip, Kalani, the singer. I never cared for Kalani, the singer. I never cared for her.
I just like her story. She got a dope story. Like, she was homeless and all that stuff. Like, so I'm happy that she's where she is.
I don't even know her story, but she had a new single out called Folded. And that's dope. So shout out to her. I like her new single, Folded. That's dope. Other than that, I'm listening to a lot of there's a producer from LA or from the West Coast, LA. Terrace Martin, he did a lot of stuff with Kendrick. He has his own stuff. He does jazz and he does R&B. He has a new album out called Come As You Are with Kenyon Dixon. That's dope. Who's another R&B person. Those are contemporary artists right now. Outside those contemporary artists and some R&B, Victoria Monet, Yaya Bae, Cleo Soul. Outside of some contemporary artists, it's all like older stuff I'm listening to. Stuff from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I'm still bumping GNX when I want to. Shout out to Kendrick. I wish I went to the tour. At this point,
I'm like, I just be, you know, I'll be sitting, and if something comes to my head, if I just start singing, you know, you might just a random song just pops up in your head, or the beat for a song pops up in your head, you know, and you know, a random song will pop up in my head, and that'll make me go pull it up on iTunes and be listening to that.
Right. I get it, man. It's been dry, man. Music has been dry, and it's to the point where I've been on my grind making my own stuff lately. I'm making my own beats. I sold my PS5 because I saw my PS5 collecting dust, and I saw my PS5 being in use a lot. And I saw my weights, like my dumbbells, my 40 pounders, my 25 pounders getting dust, my yoga mat collecting dust, my basketball collecting dust, my bands. I said, you know what? And my MPC, my MTK, they were also getting dust. I said, you know what? I'm bugging. So I saw my PS5. And now I'm starting to work out again, and I'm starting to make beats again. So I've been making my own music and just stimulating my brain. You know what I'm saying? What I've learned from people is that, like, as people get older in their 60s and 70s, the more you stimulate their brain and stimulate their physicality, the better they're off. You know, like Tom Cruise, he did Mission Impossible 7 or 8, whatever, last month. It came out in theaters, and he's 62 years old doing his own stunts. And people are wondering, how can he do that? His own stunts. He works out a lot. And then OGs tell me, if you work out in your 40s and 50s and 60s, there's less of a crash out of your body. You know what I mean? You can still maintain and do things. But if you, like, try to get up at 60 to start working out, it's going to hurt like hell because you weren't maintaining it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to be on that time. But not in Scientology like Tom Cruise, but you know, working out. But that's music, man. That's me on the music tip right now. That's me on the music side of things. I wish you were listening to more stuff, though. I feel bad that you're not listening to enough. But anyway.
So busy, man.
I know what I'm not bumping. I'm not bumping Jim Jones over Nas.
Since he's just hype right now. He's just.
I don't. Like, go ahead.
He got away. He got, you know, ever since the shit with Cam and all that, you know, niggas been talking about him. So he got the wave. He got a wave right now. That's all it is. He just got a wave, and he's feeling himself. He's already a cocky dude, you know. So he's feeling himself right now, and he went on that show and said some shit that he said his feelings. He didn't say facts.
Right.
Somebody did a video like, hold on, actually, none of your shit did it, and here goes some of Nas' albums all over the charts and this and that. Nas was going viral before you.
Right.
He tried to say it was only because of the beef with Jay. That's not true.
Nah.
It's not true.
Nah. He's been delusional. He's been delusional in general, speaking on Nas, and more important than that, on a macro level, what I feel like is he's exuberating how some people have to dim another person's light to brighten theirs, and that's just terrible. You know, just because you're in a bad space or you feel unappreciated doesn't mean you got to dim someone else's light. You know what I'm saying? Especially someone like Nas, who is solidified as an artist.
But somebody like Nas, who don't bother nobody.
He don't bother nobody, yeah.
I'm not talking. He ain't talking about nobody. He don't get on no interviews and say, yo, Jay's this, didn't do this, and blah. He ain't talking about none of that. That nigga is in tech.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and if anything, speaking of music, he's only uplifting OGs because he's on a 7-album run right now. Where with his company Mass Appeal this summer, he's going to release 7 albums from 7 legends. So last week was Slick Rick, or 2 weeks ago, he did a new Slick Rick album, a new De La Soul album's coming out, a new Ghostface album's coming out, a new Mobb Deep album's coming out, and a few others. So he's helping out OGs get their bread. And that's what it is, especially people who have tragedies. Mobb Deep, Prodigy died. De La Soul, Dave died, who's also a Haitian native. Dave, the Trugoy, Dave. So he's helping them get their bread up after tragedy happened with those groups. You know what I'm saying? And he's uplifting his culture. What are you doing, Jim? What are you doing? You're saying me, 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 when Nas is saying us, us, us. There's a difference. So that's how I feel about that situation. You know what I'm saying? Stupid. I also want to really touch base on this whole Diddy thing going on right now, real quick. You know, for the last few weeks up in New York, there's been a trial with Diddy, a RICO trial, trying to get him for racketeering of prostitution, drug distribution or drug sharing, and all in between, coercion, arson, kidnapping. The list goes on and on. I haven't followed the trial. I'm not sure you have either, have you? I haven't followed it.
Here and there.
Yeah, you know, I know there's been salacious tidbits about it. Cassie took the stand. Kid Cudi took the stand, saying that Diddy blew up his car and stuff like that.
Daphne Joy took the stand.
Who?
Daphne Joy.
She is the, who's that again?
She's Jane Doe.
No, but who is?
He's baby mama.
Right. By the way, sidebars. I'm glad you brought up 50. First of all, 50's a jerk because he just offered $250,000 to Zohran Mamdani, who is the New York mayoral-elect, the Democratic New York mayoral-elect Muslim cat. This fall, he'll be running against Mayor Adams for election, and he won the primary vote to be the Democratic nominee. So a lot of people are buzzing about him. And he's 33 years old, young Muslim cat. But he's a democratic socialist. So he wants to tax rich people so the money can go to middle class, working class people. And 50 Cent's upset about that. So he said, I got $250,000 to get.
Right. He deleted the post, by the way.
He deleted it. So Kia said. So Kia's telling me, so there was a previous post that Kia's telling me about now. So there was a previous post where 50 has said, I got $250,000 to get Zohran out of here. Let's get him out of New York. Put him somewhere else. You know, 50's about his money. He wants some, you know, greed. So I guess now Kia's telling me that he deleted the post because he was getting negative feedback about it. Because a lot of people don't fuck with that. A lot of people are fucking with Mamdani. Imagine a Muslim Obama, charismatic, speaks with, speaks to the heart of New Yorkers. He's getting a lot of notoriety and buzz off of doing quote-unquote good. And pushing good qualities and positivity. And a lot of people don't fuck with that. A lot of people agree you don't fuck with that. But I should have to say this. 50 is nasty because you brought up Daphne Joy. Yo, 50 over the past few years, if not decades, showed his immaturity in various ways. But yo, in the last few weeks of this whole situation in particular, he is showing how hurt people. And that dude needs a hug, you know? Diddy is nasty. He should be. I feel bad that Cassie never went to the police after she got hit and assaulted physically in the hotel room or in a hotel lobby, and it was caught on camera. I urge all people, men and women who've been abused, go to the cops. Fuck that shit. I understand. There's a power dynamic where, like, if you're a lady or if you're a man who is beneath a woman in the higher stature, she might weaponize or he might weaponize their power over you to either kill your career, kill your life, something. I get it. But at the same time, if you're getting abused physically, mentally, whatever, seek help, in my opinion. But we're not there because it was statute of limitations. So he's not on trial for the assault of her. He's not on trial for that. He's on trial for other frivolous things. But with that being said, the fact that people like 50 weaponize all this stuff to mock and make jokes, it's just like, yo, bro, it's like JC said, sensitive thugs, y'all all need hugs. These guys are but hurt, you know what I'm saying?
But I mean, 50, all after all these years of all the shade to Diddy, nobody ever really knew why you would get on interviews and say, I don't really got no problem with Diddy, you know, and you'd make jokes. Mm-hmm. He'd get on podcasts and interviews and say, I don't got no problem with 50. So yeah, you know, but now with this case coming out, we see why you didn't like Diddy. And it's because he took your baby mama and made her one of his play toys, you know? And you found that out. And you, of course, you can't get upset because, I don't know, this is allegedly, but allegedly, that's how Daphne Joy was moving before. You know, she was, you know, you could pay for Daphne if you wanted to.
Allegedly.
That's what was said. And it was just so happened that 50 was the one who paid for it this time. And you just got caught up. Mm-hmm. He did like a Drake. You know, you impregnated a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you mad because another nigga bagged her. That's the real issue. Like, this nigga is playing with your baby mama.
Game is the game.
That's it.
Yeah.
What else can you hate Puffy for? What did he do? You know, that if people try to make it seem like, oh, who runs New York, who got the most money and this and that. But
I'm not that. I am about that. Not at all. I agree with you. And I feel like it was way more personal than he not taking a stance on victims. You know what I'm saying? He's not. So it feels way personal. His ego was hurt. So that's what that is. That's that motivation for those jokes and mockery. On a Diddy level in general, I'm interested to see how the jury, there's a part of me that feels like, from what I've heard rhetoric-wise, this has been more of a gossipy trial than a real trial. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has been more about getting salacious details about the man's life versus really going after the crimes he may have committed. You know what I'm saying? And I love court movies. I love court movies, court films, court dramas. I love learning about the law. One of my closest friends is a lawyer. First, he was a prosecutor. Now he's a defense attorney. So I'm always picking his brain for questions. I appreciate.
Sorry to interrupt you. My friend has a friend who is a lawyer. And over the weekend, I just asked him about Megan and Tory. And he was talking to me about it. But we'll get one.
Oh, Megan and Tory. With that being said, I feel like this has gotten away from getting to the crux of legalities and more about TMZ stuff. And I feel like it's a disservice to actual victims. And dare I say, it's a disservice to due process with Diddy. You know, let's get him on what he needs, what he deserves to be got on. But let's not OD with TMZ stuff just to have the high school table snicker. Like,
look at this bitch. I feel like, why did y'all need to see the videos of the freak-off in court?
Right, right.
Cassie was already telling you everything. She already told you. So what did you need to play it in court for? Do they need to see if they needed more proof to see if she was willing to do it on her own or what? Like, she already told you what it was. Like, you know,
I will say this, though. You said her name. So let me ask you this. If you're Cassie's husband now.
It hurts. Right. Right, but how much did she just cash out for?
That's true. Yes, that's true. Those Benjamins.
You're gonna have to cry at the bank.
Yeah.
But listen, this stuff happened before. But it's like, this stuff happened before me. Now, this is the thing. This is what we don't know. What if Cassie got with him and said, listen, baby, like, we're dating. We're together. Finally, I feel like I can be vulnerable with you. Yes, you know I was with Diddy, but this is what was going on. What if she told him? What if he know everything?
I'm sure she on some level have had some.
But are you sure? Because
you're right.
On the other hand, one could be so shamed that you keep this a secret.
Well, there goes that age old guy question. And that question is, what do you do if your lady tells you about certain stuff from her past?
Now,
how do you respond?
Now. Just me personally, you can tell me you did slutty things. You can tell me you had sex with a lot of guys. But for me personally, when you get to the point where you're letting guys run trains on you,
it's a bit much.
Or you're the pass around friend. You're the friend that, hey, you know, I heard my dog, you know, I'm going to put my dog on to you. And then I'm going to put my cousin Mike on to you. And then now you can just call her and, hey, what's up? And then the first night you could come over there and smash. Like, you're one of those type of chicks to pass around. Like, nah, you can't do that. And when you start telling me that you've had a lot of threesomes, guys were running trains on you, it's like.
Yeah, and you know, and to your point,
So hold on. Let me tell you a funny story about me, which I shouldn't even, but fuck it. I was messing with a married woman.
Already and bad.
I was messing with a married woman. We had a perfect situation because she was married in another state. I'm in my state. Cool. We didn't see each other often, like once every year, once every 2 years. It wasn't often at all. But when she would come for a few days and we would hang out. One particular time. No, so now, like, this lasted a few years. So,
damn.
In the final years, we were talking and just talking about stuff. And she revealed to me that she had a threesome with two guys before. She said she's done that before. So I was just like, okay, whatever. That's the past. We go to the club.
Where's your husband at this time? You went to the club.
Her husband is in another state. She doesn't live in the state that I was in.
Oh, she knew her husband. Oh.
No. She lived with her husband, but she would go away on vacation.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Yeah. She would be vacationing in the state that I'm in.
Oh, my God, bro. All right, go ahead.
So she comes to... Now, the...
Crazy story already.
Like I told you, we've been dealing with each other for years. So throughout the years, everything has been fine. Every time we link up, it's been fine. This one time, she comes down. Mind you, I told you, she told me maybe a week or two before, she told me that she let two guys do that, whatever. So now we're in the club. We're chilling. I don't really do the dancing. I be low key. You know what I'm saying? I'm playing the back. You know, she doing her thing. She dancing. So I see from across the club, she's like exchanging her contact info with a nigga. I'm like, okay, cool. So she comes to me and I tell her like right there in the club, like, I just seen you give your nigga number. She's like, oh, you know, I didn't even give him I gave him the wrong last digits. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, whatever. You're like, you're lying, but whatever. Then in the club, little Scrappy comes. So he's on like a little stage or whatever. She's throwing so much ass in a circle right in front of little Scrappy trying to be chose. Like, just throwing ass, And then, so after the club.
Scrappy was there?
Scrappy, this is what I'm telling you. Little Scrappy and his entourage was there, and they're right there on the stage, and she's like, oh, little Scrappy. So she leaves to go, like, dance with her sister and group in front of little Scrappy so they can be seen. If she was dancing at a 3-4, she's dancing at an 11-12 now. Just throwing so much ass, trying to be seen, I guess she wanted little Scrappy to just, hey, what's up, mom?
Mom, groupie.
And after that, that was it. That was the end of our relationship. Like,
You saw her differently.
And I think I saw her differently because she told me that she has had trains ran on her. That's what did it for me, I think. You know what I'm saying? Cause I started thinking about it because when she would come in town, I'm taking her out. I'm taking her to dinner and boot up. We kissing, all type of shit. But why am I doing this with, if you might be the neighborhood slut back in your town? If niggas have ran train on you, what if I go to your town and I'm hugged up with you and a nigga see me and he's like, bro, you hugged up with her? Like, we used to run train with on this. Like, no, I can't. No, I'm straight.
Yeah.
Give me the woman who, you know, it doesn't matter how much bodies you've had, but just let them be your own bodies. That's it. Singular one-on-one situation.
To those last few words, I say, first of all, you're a wild boy. But to that I say, because that could have been deadly. But to that I say, there's a whole, you know, Amber Rose a few years ago, who she's a corny person, but she had a thing called Slut Walk, you know, try to empower people, especially women, to be sexually free. And, you know, you'll hear people now say, women say, you need a whole face. I think words matter. So the proper thing to say is it's okay to be free sexually, explorative, and dare I say promiscuous. But I've always equated hoe or slut with, whether you're a man or a woman, be a slut or a hoe is someone who is used as a vessel but doesn't have the autonomy or control of their promiscuity, of their sexual adventures. They're not controlling it. They're not being the conqueror, or
they don't know how to use what they got.
Yeah, they're not navigating their conquest. They're being allowed to be used and passed around. To me, that is slut or hoe behavior by how I feel. And with those words, I don't co-sign that stuff. I don't co-sign being passed around, used, controlled.
But some situations are different. Like you said, some girls don't know how to use their power, you know? Some girls know how to use it. They know, like, all right, this is my shit, and I want to fuck this nigga, right?
Yeah.
And some girls are like, I like him. I want him to be my boyfriend, but I don't know how, so let me just let him have sex with me, and I hope that makes him like me. And they just do that over and over again, you know? So it's different situations.
Unfortunately.
It's different situations.
Different situations. And there's male sluts, too. There's male hoes, too.
Let me ask you your thoughts on this. This was just last weekend. Last weekend, I go on a date. I shouldn't even be saying this if it's going to be online.
It's on you.
But this is the truth. You tell me, you know, if you were a single man, what you would do. I just went on a date. This woman is single, no kids, right? Haitian. I wasn't going to say that, but I'm going to say it because we're Haitian and, you know, so.
So the she,
finding someone from your own culture, right?
Does she do the, hey, hey. That's a Haitian woman right there. When a Haitian woman goes, hey, hey. Haitian ass woman right there. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, real Zoe too, like full Creole, right. Speaking Creole, all that. But we go to the club and, you know, since we're talking about the promiscuous and all that, we go to the club. She meets me there. She got a little short skirt on, right? Short skirt, but, you know, one of the short skirts where you can see ass cheeks, but she got like the little shorts, a panty thing under, but you can see full ass cheeks. Right. When we're there, she is the woman who is in the middle of the dance floor, splits, dutty wine, headstand, twerking on the floor, all of that. Right.
She
straight Zoe. This is dance hall music now. This is a reggae party. Right. So all the vibes, cartel, you know, sit down and wine on it, all that. She's doing all the dances. Right. Splits on the floor, all of that. Right. Everything. You name it. But I'm watching her, you know, every nigga that try to dance with her, she pushing them off. She not letting no nigga dance with her. She danced with me a couple times. I pushed up on her once, was dancing with her. You know, I had put my hand on her thigh. She like knocked my hand down, you know, so I'm like, okay. Like, so that's why I was kind of like you have enough respect for yourself to where you don't want your man's hands all over you. But then again, you want to show your ass in the club. So it's a double-edged sword. And yes, it doesn't matter what a woman wears. You know, a woman can wear anything that doesn't invite anything.
Absolutely.
We understand that, you know, but still.
Absolutely doesn't matter. Just that old Dave Chappelle joke from his first HBO special, Killing Them Softly. Where he says, hey, just because I'm wearing this outfit doesn't mean you got to touch me. And he said, that's right, folks. She's absolutely right. Just because she's wearing that outfit doesn't mean, you know, you got to do something about that. But he says, if I wear a cop uniform and someone goes, oh, my God, your officer, there's a robber down the street, old lady's purse, please snatch that man. Hey, just because I wear this cop outfit doesn't mean I fight crime. And, you know.
I saw something to interrupt you, but to your point. I saw the little pop the balloon clips. A man popped the balloon on a woman because of what she was wearing. And they got back and forth into it. And she said, that's what's wrong with men is y'all judge a book by its cover. And the man said, well, if it looks like a sex story, I'm going to think it's a sex story. You know what I mean? And I agreed with that.
I would tell that lady that, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover, no doubt. You cannot. And
you cannot. It's unfair. You cannot.
But
a woman can dress, to be clear, a woman can dress however she wants and as very minimal clothing she wants. And she can be the most educated, financially stable, beautiful, loyal woman. It doesn't matter.
A secure woman. But, you know, one, a lot of men are visual creatures. You know what I'm saying? A lot of men are visual creatures.
That's what he said. That's what he said in the thing. He said, why would you come here dressed like that with all these men with high testosterone and, you know? He's like, so that's kind of inviting that energy.
Or even if it's not inviting, you can't be so naive not to think that people won't have preconceived notions from that. You know what I'm saying? From that look. And I'm saying what you do and how you act is, boy, you better tighten up and don't violate a woman's.
Yeah, you better control that.
Yeah, control yourself. But perception, people can perceive what they want by looks. You know, yo, my mom wouldn't allow me to go outside with an earring or a cornrows, vagabond. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, perception matters and presentation matters. Yes, yeah, some presentation is based off of old European aesthetics, outdated, that we shouldn't emulate or uphold. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? Be natural, be yourself. But you do, don't be naive. Don't be obtuse. You know when you wear certain things, it's for attention. Potentially, depending on who you are, whether it's your titties out or whatever. With that being said, that Dave Chappelle joke, you know, he did say, you know, you may not be a whore, but you're wearing a whore's uniform. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes some people out there, they wear whore uniforms. Sometimes it's classy or sleek and sexy. Sometimes it's over the top. You know what I'm saying? And we know who's who. We know what's what, lady. Knock it off. All right? Relax. We're all here to crack jokes and have fun, but let's keep it funky, too. So I feel you. What I would do in a situation?
No, so the question is,
question.
Did you pursue that woman that met you at the club seriously?
No.
Why not? What if she was just wearing a hose uniform and dancing, you know?
Because I would say to date someone and to build with someone, I do think on some level presentation matters, introduction matters, because it gives you a glimpse as to how they perceive themselves or how they want to at least communicate with the outside world. And I personally would want to be with anybody who needs to communicate sexual undertones with the outside world. You know what I'm saying? I feel like sex is sacred. Hold up. I feel like sex is sacred. Sex is intimate. Sex is a transfer of energy. And it's way more personal and spiritual than people give the credit that it is. So I feel like when people exude sex a lot, when they try to promote sex a lot, I always feel like they're cheapening the spirit of sex. They're cheapening the energy around sex, the gravity of sex. And I take sex seriously. You know what I'm saying? I mean, being a minority here, I'm a married man now for the last 13 years, 14 years, whatever. When I was single, I never had sex with somebody I didn't fuck with. I never had sex with somebody that I didn't like spiritually, energy. Doesn't mean it worked out. Obviously, it didn't work out with them. But I always knew on some level, I rock with you. And I wish well for you in the aftermath. You know what I'm saying? Good luck on life. You know what I'm saying? Even if it ended badly, I would still say, fuck. I hedged the wrong bet. But even still, salute, because in that moment, I thought highly of you. I didn't go through this blindly saying, all right, back alley, put your pants down. I wasn't loose with my stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because, yo, man, it was through blood transfusion, but my grandmother died of AIDS, you know what I'm saying? People had got STDs, and
you see me, I'm 38, no kids. One thing I don't play with is unprotected sex.
Right. Right.
There are some men who are like, no, the pussy, I gotta feel it. No, I'm not like that. If you can't feel the coochie with the condom on, it's you, my brother. Or it's you or the female. Like, it's not that for the risk that you're gonna be taking to have unprotected sex, doesn't feel that much better.
Yeah. To your point, yeah. And mind you live in Atlanta where I think amongst black individuals, there's a high rate of HIV, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, very. I don't know how high.
But I think it's one of the highest amongst black folks, black people. So,
which is wild to me because here, I mean, I think it's like this everywhere. They got their own system. But here in Atlanta, when you go to the doctor, you have your My Chart. So it's basically.
I got My Chart.
Yeah. So you got the app. You got the app, you know, you can easily ask, when's the last, pull up your My Chart. When's the last time you've been to a visit?
Yeah. Damn your clothing, your Benz. Let me see your My Chart. Let me see.
Yeah, let me see the My Chart. You see what's going around here in Atlanta? And sometimes people don't even know what it is. Yeah. You ask somebody like, yeah, let me see your My Chart. They're like, what's that?
Shoot, the name of the episode is going to be, let me see your My Chart.
Yeah. After you go to the doctor to get tested, they give you this thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man.
I agree. I agree. Let me see your my chart. But, yo, man, I feel like, to your point, no, I want to date her. For those reasons, I wouldn't date her. And I think I don't blame you if you do date her, though. I don't blame you because you may, remember, I also want to point out that everybody has different levels and degrees of what they stomach and what they're tolerant of.
Hold on 1 second.
No, you're good. So everybody has their own idea of what they're tolerant of, what they can stomach, what they can date, what is a red flag to them, so what may be a red flag to me may not be a red flag to you. So I support you.
No, those were some red flags because it's like, yeah, no, I'd rather have the shorty that wanna play the back of the club, low key, wanna be booed up on me, you know? Like,
I was telling a coworker this, a colleague this other day. She was asking me about dating, and what I told her was, yo, man, especially for her as a woman, but in general, if you're dating somebody, most people are going to hit certain markers, basically things that are good about them. You know what I mean? They take care of their mom. They like to read. They do archery, whatever. I don't know. Whatever it is that they like to do, cool. They like music like you. They like art like you. But I told her, what you need to do is make sure whoever you're dating impresses you. And don't be impressed easily. You know, if you're ever dating with somebody and they say something that's enlightening to you and it makes you raise your eyebrow in a good way, that's when you know, oh, impressive. In your mind, like, okay, this is special. This is unique. This is different. Most human beings are generally good people. Most. There's a few King Bonds here and there. But for the most part, most people are genuine good people. But how you separate and say, oh, no, this is impressive. This is unique. This is special. You know what I'm saying? That's what you go for. A lot of times we get into relationships with people who are just average to good. And then when their faults come out, you say to yourself, how did I not see this coming? Oh my God. It's like, no, they always were flawed and you didn't pick up on that because you were just going with the flow and you didn't vet yourself to say, they were cool, that was a nice day and all, but they didn't really impress me as much, so I don't have to call them back. I don't have to meet up with them again. I can tell them, hey, it was a nice time. Right now I'm caught up in my own thing, or I don't really see this going anywhere, so let me not waste your time. See you when I see you. God bless. But sometimes, as human beings, we're like, you know what? Ain't nothing popping up anyway for me, so let me just call her back. Call him back. Oh, he got a nice car, so let me call him out for a date again. He brought me to a nice restaurant, so. Yeah, but did he impress you, ma'am? Did he float your boat? Did he really, you know, capture your spirit? You know what I'm saying? If he didn't, then why are you bothering him? Or why are you bothering her? It's okay to say no. It's okay to say that was a nice date. But all right. But last thing, before we leave, I know you got to go soon. Last thing is June, Men's Mental Health Awareness. Is there anything off the top of your head want people out there, whether it's fellow brothers, fellow sisters, men, women, anybody in between? Is there anything that you want them to know about either your mental health state or men's mental health state that they should be aware about?
Brothers, my young kings, talk to somebody. Go talk to somebody. Don't hold it in. It's okay to cry, you know?
It's okay to cry.
Talk to somebody. It's family. Let it out. Don't hold it all in. It don't make you soft. You know what I mean? You got to talk it out, because when it comes to men, like, I have this argument all the time. Like, people don't care about black men. People don't really care about black men. When you're trying to date and trying to talk to women, you know, they don't, not all of them, but a lot of women don't ask you questions.
They don't, huh?
They don't ask you questions. That's how we get into these situations where you're dating a man for 2 years and then boom, you find out he has a child and a whole nother family. You didn't even ask him. You didn't ask him if he had anybody else. You were only worried about what he was doing for you and this. So anyway, yeah.
I agree.
People don't ask men questions, so they don't care. They don't ask questions because they don't care about us. They only care about what we can do, what we can provide for them.
Provide.
You know, people don't, you know, a lot of people, situations, you know, transactional relationships, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
I agree.
So, talk it out with somebody. And that's just it. Don't hold it all inside.
I agree. Comedian Dane Cook from 05, 20 years ago. he had a special called Vicious Circle. He had a great bit about how, like, you know,
I saw that one.
Yeah, and a bit about crying, about men crying. He talked about how, like, it's okay for men to cry, and it's okay to go. He says every man should have a good cry, whether they're by themselves, they go in the mirror, cry it out, you know. He says, and then, of course, as you're crying, your mom calls you, what's going on with you? And then she makes you cry more because she starts saying the right things to you. Yeah. It's like thanks, yeah. Mom.
Yeah.
And then, like, you'll start thinking about old shit from the past. Like, damn, why didn't Lori ask me to her party that one time? And then your boy will call you, hey, man, let's go to Lori.
Yeah.
She said she felt bad about you. She said she felt bad about you not inviting you. That was lame of her. Oh, really? I didn't even know about that. So, you know, like, he says it's okay to cry, and then that's some real shit, yo. I definitely know how to cry. I have cried. I can cry. I have a lot to cry about. I have a lot to cry for. I let it out recently, maybe like a month or two ago. Not only was I, like, crying on the inside and out, I was tearing and stuff. My mom, man, she hit me up at that moment, too. She hit me up for some reason. And when she hit me up, I forgot what she said to me, but it was something that was, like, warm and uplifting almost. And I said to myself, oh, shit. I'm about to go to overdrive when I get off the phone. But I said to myself, yo, I got to remember that. I got to remember that, you know, it's okay to cry and also be appreciative of people who are trying to be there for you, because no one's guaranteed to last for a lifetime with you. So I'm trying to be thankful of what I do have in my life, and I just focus on what I don't have, you know? And I would tell other men that too, through men's Mental Health Awareness Month. You know, like Andy said, look for outlets, whether it's professional therapy, whether it's trusted people, whether it's tapping into your own self and giving yourself some time to decompress, breathe, and be open and be vulnerable. It's okay to be open and vulnerable. And also, I would say let it out. Because if you don't let it out, it'll eat you.
And you're going to spaz on somebody one day.
You're going
to spaz. Call out.
Yeah. Plenty of people in prison right now, especially men.
Yeah.
Who crashed out.
Holding shit in all these years, and then it just explodes. It
exploded, yeah. They crashed out the wrong time.
It just happened on Facebook Live. You see the couple?
Sad.
Just happened on Facebook Live. Two people gone.
Sad. I saw a woman. She was either snickering or laughing at her man, or he was trying to get at her, and they had like a bad interaction. The black woman, you know, shit happens. You saw what happened. With that being said, man, thank you for coming on, Andy. I know it's been a long time coming. You know,
thank you for having me, cuz. We're going to do these more often, man.
We got to, because I think people like it.
Even if it's like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, yeah. When shit happens, we can just hop on here.
Quick check in.
You see, bro. I got my shit remodeled now. So
yeah, good. Man. Rest in peace, Takeoff in the back.
Oh, yes.
Crazy. But anyway, I'm going to holler at you later, all right, bro?
All right, cuz. Love.
Be safe. Love. All right. Let me end this.